Hello, and welcome to Brave Stories, stories by and about children with cancer and the family and friends who love them. Brave Stories is brought to you by Brave the Shave, an organization that provides support to these children and their families when they need it most. This can mean life-saving medicine, rent or car payments, but most of all means being there for the children and their families. Brave the Shave is a community of families impacted by cancer supporting each other through compassion and kindness. Every child is unique, and so is their story. We hope that by listening to these stories of strength, joy, and sorrow, you can be inspired to share the same goodwill in your life.
Today we'll be talking to Joe McDonough of the Be Positive Foundation. The Be Positive Foundation provides support for children with cancer as well as research. Be Positive was founded after Joe's son's own untimely death from cancer, which has affected him profoundly. This is Joe McDonough speaking with Mike Eagle, founder of Brave the Shave.
Well, today we're going to be talking with Joe McDonough, who is a dear friend of Brave the Shaves. We've known Joe for a number of years. Going back, we chose Joe and the Andrew McDonough Be Positive Foundation for our research arm. We chose this foundation just because of many of the things that Joe has already accomplished. So I'd like everybody to welcome Joe. Joe, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. As I mentioned, you know, Joe's been a friend of Brave the Shave for a long time, and we are familiar with Joe's story, and it is a story that is deeply touching and more so deeply touching because of the way that Joe has responded to this story. But I guess the way I'd like to start out a little bit, Joe, is just to have you tell us a little bit about your son, Andrew, and a little bit about what happened with Andrew.
Sure. It's a story I never thought that I would ever be telling. Back in 2007, one of my two children, Andrew, was a freshman in high school. His big sister was a junior in high school. And on a Saturday, Andrew helped his travel soccer team win a Pennsylvania State Championship. Andrew was an elite athlete, played all around the country. And it was a pretty normal, busy week. Less than 2 days later, Andrew came into our room and said to my wife and I that he was going to get sick. It's the end of January. We thought he was dealing with the flu. And he got sick the next morning. I gave him a kiss goodbye and told him I loved him, and this will show you the extent of my medical expertise. I gave him a Diet Sprite to settle his stomach, because that works, and I went off to work. Fortunately, my wife, Chris, stayed home from work that day, and she took Andrew to the pediatrician. Unfortunately, the office was too crowded, you know, January flu season, and so she says, I'm going to take him over to the Children's Hospital, which ironically is about 0.2 miles from our house. And before she did that, she said, where's your appendix, knowing that I had mine taken out? And I told her where it was, and she said that's where Andrew was complaining of pain. So we get over to the hospital, and to make a horrific story shorter, Andrew did not have appendicitis. He was diagnosed with leukemia. He then went into septic shock, which is like an infection bomb going off in your body. And Chris, my wife, Allie, our daughter, and I, we're standing right there at Andrew's bed in the PICU, the pediatric intensive care unit, and we watched Andrew go into cardiac arrest. His heart stopped. It was unthinkable. I mean, my son was a beast. He was in such tremendous physical shape. And they resuscitated him, as I knew they would, but it was just a blur. I couldn't tell you for the life of me how long this took. But then the doctor pulled us aside, and I said, is my son going to be okay? And he said, your son won't live through the night. And we were just floored. And I remember saying to the doctor, I looked at the doctor and it was kind of like, you know, sort of game on. I said, only God and Andrew knows. And my son lived through that night. But let me tell you, Andrew went into the hospital 5'10" tall, 135 pounds, that morning on January 29th. By the time January 29th was over, Andrew was still 5'10". But he was 200 pounds. His body weight went up 50%, 65 pounds from the fluid we had to pump into him to keep his blood pressure up to keep him alive. Now, most kids with cancer do not have this kind of experience. Andrew's story was very atypical. We never left the hospital. He had almost 50 operations, 4 strokes, a brain aneurysm. 4 times they told us Andrew wasn't going to live through the day. And on day 167, I watched my son take his last breath in the arms of his 16-year-old sister. And my son died at 14. Andrew's blood type was B positive. He had asked me what his blood type was. I didn't know. On day 2, we found out. So Andrew's sister, Allie, started drawing posters on the door. Don't come into this room unless you're going to be positive. And that's how it took off. So I tremendously miss my boy each and every day. I start and finish in his bedroom. I talk to him every day. Don't know what life would have been like for Andrew, for all of us. But childhood cancer stole Andrew just like it does 48 other children every week.
You know, the thing about the story that really gets me sometimes is this, the speed of it. I mean, there's so many things that just like, oh my God. But to go from a soccer game to a day later being in the hospital, it's just stunning. It's just unbelievable. And then off that next day, you know, to be told that that was it, that's just incredible.
I didn't know things could work like that.
No, it is something that nobody's really prepared for. So one of the things that has happened since then is, you know, obviously the B Positive Foundation has been going, how many years have you been going now?
So shortly after Andrew passed away in July of 2007, within a couple of weeks, we started. And so we're coming up on 14 years later this year.
You know, I knew that, and it just didn't – I've been shaving my head now. It will be 14 years. So we've been doing this 14 years as well. The thing that has really been good for us, and I want people to understand – when Brave the Shave was debating about doing something in terms of the research, you know, you guys help out with families. And I do want to talk about that a little bit. But also, Brave the Shave had not done anything directly with research. And so we were looking around, say, who could we partner with? Because we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to go out and do this. And so we made a bunch of calls. We were looking at people who had really thought about this well and done their due diligence and came across you. And I remember Ted Cash gave you a call and said, hey, you know, kind of was vetting you, I suppose is the best way to put it, and came back and just said, hey, these guys are hands down doing the job. I just want you to, can you tell everybody a little bit about how that process developed? And where it started and where you've gotten to in that research aspect.
Yeah, so, you know, it was really interesting for us to be both proactive and reactive. Reactive to all those families, like Brave the Shave helps. But we also want to be proactive and try to make progress and create a world where there's not so much childhood cancer or the treatment protocols are kinder and gentler. And there's just a different world today than there even was 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. I was on the phone last night with a researcher, and he's doing research on something called MYC-N amplified, which is a gene mutation in that's in about 20 to 25% of kids with neuroblastoma. It is a leading cause of death in the very young children. And just to make things simplistic, it feeds off of iron. And they have found a couple of drugs sort of off the shelf that are FDA approved for something totally different. They call it repurposing. And now they're testing those two drugs on this. And to me, it's just brilliant what they're doing. Not brilliant what we do, but you know, it's just so great when you can take something that's off the shelf because the safety profile has already been developed. Back, you know, when Andrew died, I thought everything had to be from scratch. Now they find mutations that maybe the child doesn't need chemo. They need an ALK inhibitor for the ALK mutation. And so, you know, you have less damage to this developing body. you know, we're in a really exciting time, I think, of research because, you know, once again, my background's not in science. I've learned a lot over the last 14 years. But if you think back 25 years ago, researchers tended to be geographic specific. You know, you're a bone cancer doctor, a lung cancer doctor, a brain cancer. Now there's so much discussion about what's called mechanism of action. So there could be something that is, you know, a great learning in adult lung cancer that could be used in a solid tumor cancer for a child. And so there's a lot more discussion. And within the childhood cancer community, there's a lot more collaboration, thankfully, than I was worried about. Because one of the things I said from day one, my wife said, my daughter said, we don't want to spend money anywhere where it's not going to be shared. You know, we're not about contributing to silos. And that's why we didn't just help the hospital where my son was diagnosed or just the type of childhood cancer. All cancer, anywhere, wherever the great work is being done. And so, as you said, unfortunately, a lot of times people do reinvent the wheel. We have a scientific advisory board of 9 world-class pediatric oncologists. I'm not saying we're the only one, but we are. So why would Brave the Shave want to redo that? You know, we can work together. You see who our scientific advisory board is. We give you an opportunity to say, you know what, you want to pick one of these grants to sponsor? You can do that if there's something that, you know, resonates with you. And together, we move the ball down the field a little faster.
Well, and it's funny you say that. You know, you've mentioned a number of times that we could pick a grant, and I know that some of our families have helped pick a grant, but I always think about it. We say, which one of these do you think would be good? I think, okay, you got the head of the cog here. You got all these guys who know so much about this, and you want me to, I'm not picking nothing. You guys can pick. I'm good. We're good. We'll move on because that expertise is there.
We are very, very blessed, very fortunate to have 9 people who are just world-class. And we are also fortunate that we have dozens and dozens and dozens of applications that come in. When we talk about an application, we're talking 50, 60 page proposals from literally around the world. And that's who we fund because we take the belief, and I think you share it with us, that I don't care if the research facility is in Bismarck, North Dakota, or Augusta, Georgia, or San Antonio, Texas, or France. I don't care. We are going to advance childhood cancer research, and that's going to help all kids.
You know, that is interesting. You know, a lot of the, obviously the families we help are North Dakota in the area, and it's important because these are our local communities helping local families, and it makes a lot of sense. But the solution's universal. We don't have to, we don't have to worry about, is this going to be built in North Dakota? I mean, obviously, it would be great if we had a researcher here who came up with the cure. But if the researcher happens to be anyplace else and they come up with cures, that's fantastic, too. So just whatever gets the job done.
Well, I'm a little bit biased, of course, but I think that the people that make up Brave the Shave, whether they're shaving their head or they're giving a dollar to someone who's shaving their head, can put their head on the pillow each night knowing that, yes, they are helping the local kids from their community, but they're also, with very little effort, making a dramatic difference in the landscape of childhood cancer. From something that can be as fun as and silly as head shaving, and, you know, we do dance marathons and different things like that. You know, I used to think when we started this, I thought, oh, you know, you must need to have $100 million to make a difference. No, when you're focused, you know, a grant of $150,000 is gigantic. You know, it's just these very focused grants, and it's so exciting to the extent I can understand it when I read the progress reports, and I just get goosebumps. And I will admit, I also might have to Google a few terms, but it's fascinating.
No, it is fascinating, and you mentioned one, you know, that's been tested, but some of the other innovations that are, you know, the zebra mussel. I mean, these the ones that you, or what is it?
It's a zebrafish.
Zebrafish. You know, some of the RNA testing, some of these other things that I know almost nothing about, that you know much more than I know. I mean, they're truly unbelievable what the potential of them.
Well, you know, and we had the pleasure of having Angie join us in Boston at the Zebrafish Lab. And if you think about that, these are translucent fish. And you can actually see, and I don't want to gross anyone out, but you can actually see where injections were made, tumors are started, and they multiply very quickly, very inexpensively, and thus you accelerate your learning. And it's just amazing. I mean, you know, we're living in a world right now where we're learning about messenger RNA.
Yep.
You know, nobody ever, you know, the general population didn't know that term until the COVID vaccine came along. And you just see the power of science. But I will tell you, and this is a somewhat of a sober warning, there are brilliant researchers in labs. And right now with COVID vaccine, honestly, money wasn't an issue. Governments were throwing money at it. But in our world of childhood cancer research, resources are an issue. And the last thing I want are brilliant researchers to be sitting at benches and not have the means to do what they can do. Or, and this really worries me, young researchers entering the field who might say, it's too hard to raise money in childhood cancer research. I'm going to go off to a different type of cancer. And we lose the great bench strength, which is the future talent.
In the that competition for resources is always difficult. And not only the competition, but the sense that this has proven so hard. I mean, this has proven to be a very difficult problem to solve. And for years, there was not the emphasis of it. You know, there was not the focus on it. I think, you know, obviously, B positive, others have managed to bring the focus to it in a way that, you know, certainly, you know, this is the number one issue for from a health standpoint for kids. It's kind of amazing.
And you know what? Another thing that's kind of amazing, and you may laugh at this, but it is actually true. In the world that we live, where Republicans and Democrats can't agree on anything, there is bipartisan support for the battle against childhood cancer. Now, would I like there to be more? Of course. You know, do I know what the magic number is, how much we need? No, I don't. But when I spend time in D.C., and when you see a Congressman Michael McCaul of Texas, a Republican, coming together with a Jackie Speier from California, Democrat, and you know, why can't we get behind this for kids? Because you know what? Not one time ever, as a child walked into an emergency room and the doctor asked, are your parents Democrats, Republicans, or Independents? It doesn't happen. So it is kind of, you know, yes, I would love more money from the federal government. But I do have to say, this is something that everybody can get behind. It doesn't matter who you voted for in the last election.
Oh. And you raise an excellent point. I mean, the fact is that cancer has no respect for any boundary. No respect for any boundary. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you believe in this effort or not. It could affect you. And that is a wonderful segue into the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, is the impact of this disease, the impact on families, and that other half of what Brave the Shave does and the other half of what Be Positive does, which is help families and kids who are directly involved in this issue. And I kind of want to ask you a question up front about the thing that's been on everybody's mind, which is, you know, Corona. Obviously, that's in fact impacted research, that impacted fundraising. But how has that impacted families? When you have a family that's all of a sudden impacted by cancer, they could already be in a disaster situation. And I just say, well, and then they go insane. I mean, I talked to a number of our families, and they don't even remember the first days of the diagnosis. This is just like gone from their memory. But now you throw COVID-19 on top of it. What are you seeing in relationship to that?
Well, it is impacting them on all levels. What people don't sometimes think about are what would be called the psychosocial impacts These children are really, really isolated now, and that's really tough. The income is such a tough issue because parents are losing hours. As it is, to your point, when a child gets cancer, the whole family gets cancer. When you have a little girl like Stephanie, who's 10 years old, she's diagnosed with leukemia. Her only parent is her mom, and her mom gets coronavirus. Stephanie's immunocompromised. Stephanie gets it as well. Tragically, mom dies. So here's a 10-year-old girl with leukemia, coronavirus, and she's now been orphaned. Thankfully, miraculously, this tough little kid beat coronavirus, and thankfully her aunt and uncle agreed to raise her, but this was last summer. They were working in the restaurant industry. They had been furloughed, so they didn't have paychecks coming in and were facing eviction. A child with cancer like that cannot be in that situation. I'll tell you quickly another story. A family from Kentucky. This is what I would say like your American dream family. The mom is a principal in a school. Dad works in the family business. You know, that's the American dream. They have two children. Tenley is 4 and Adley is 3. Tenley was diagnosed with cancer, leukemia specifically. 2 days before her bone marrow transplant, mom had gave birth to their third child. So there's 3 girls under the age of 4. Tenley had a tough time with bone marrow transplant, a lot of issues, but she made it through, and on January 26th, she was to be discharged. Mom and dad haven't been working. On January 25th, one day before 4-year-old Tenley was to be discharged, 3-year-old Adley was diagnosed with cancer. So here is this young family doing all the things right. Mom's a principal in a school. Dad's in the family business. 4-year-old with cancer, 3-year-old with cancer, newborn, and they're not working. Is it their fault? No way. It's not their fault at all. They need a hand. This isn't a crutch that, you know, these are people that just aren't willing to work. These are good, hardworking people who just need us to help them.
You know, when you tell the stories about Stephanie or Kinley, it almost sounds like a made-up story because you can't think, okay, yeah, what could be worse? What more could you throw at these people? What more could you throw at these kids? It's like you did a movie and said, okay, we're going to take this person and we're going to give as many bad things that can happen. And I often get the sense that, and I don't mean this to sound bad, but many people take a look at these things and they see that and they just kind of shut down.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of shut. It's like, well, I can't see that. I can't. That stuff is too tough. That stuff is too hard to keep looking at. And I get that because it can be hard. But, you know, if you can just look at it for a moment and say, okay, what's my piece in this? You know, you don't have to save the world, but at least don't look away.
Yeah, and it is so scary that some people stick their head in the sand. I will tell you, when we went through our 167-day battle with Andrew, we lost some friends. They just couldn't handle it. You would think, well, that's not a very good friend. Whatever. I'm not going to judge that. But they just couldn't handle it. But what we want people to see is these innocent children who are so inspiring. They're so brave. You know, I will never ask any one person to do a lot, but I will ask a lot of people to do a little. Yeah. Whether that's sending an email out or, you know, shaving your head or standing on a street corner with a can, whatever. You know, we can all do a little. And everyone, you know, the people I really admire are not the people like me who have walked this path, but people like you and people who have not had childhood cancer affect them personally, because that's how we make more progress, widening that circle. And you know, I pray, I truly pray that you never hear the words that I hear, that I heard. And, you know, we can make a difference. I mean, I hear a lot of times, oh, well, what's one person going to do? A lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. One person. You know, if you think about an analogy of you're going down the street and you see a car on fire and there's a car seat in there with a baby in there. Would you stop? Of course you would stop. every one of us would stop and try. That is somewhat what we're analogous to what we're talking about. Oh, but in our case, you won't get burned. There's right. no harm. Just help us out. And if someone, I always tell people, if you're not in a position financially to help out with a dollar or two right now, that's okay. Become an ambassador for Brave the Shade. Become an ambassador for Be Positive Foundation. Become an ambassador in the fight against childhood cancer. Pray for these kids. Do what you can. When you see that bald-headed kid at the mall, don't stare. High-five them. You know, they're just like every other kid. My son lost his hair. No fault of his, you know. And there's definitely something every single one of us can do.
Well, and, you know, the fact is, a lot of times I'm not even that interested in the money. You know, like I've said this to other people who want to volunteer, said, well, I don't know how much I can raise. And, you know, my response has been, it doesn't matter that much. Great. If you can do it, that's great. But honestly, some of the best things that have come out of this from my perception, one, you know, the family group that we have, you know, 150 honorees, and they're all in their this private Facebook page, which is, you know, just a support group for them. You know, just the way they came together. So there, when a family has this diagnosis, there's a group they can go to. And they can say, hey, these people at least somewhat understand what's happening. And then this group, this community that is formed around them to say, hey, we understand. We get it. We had a kid who shaved his head, and he was real proud of himself. He was like, I think he was in the fourth grade. And we hadn't prepped the school quite right. And the next day, you know, he had some people make fun of him. You know, he'd raised some money and he was real proud. They made fun of him. And so we called up the school and we said, hey, could you help us out? We want this kid to be respected for this. We want him to feel good about this. And the school responded beautifully and they had the conversation. Yeah. They had a conversation around this. And so if anything, you hope that even if you're not raising money, you're able to have a conversation about being decent. You know, being decent around this disease, being decent with these kids, being decent around those other people. So one way or the other, there's good to be done.
Yeah, you know, I want to touch on something you said about this safe space that you give to families. I don't know if all of your supporters know, but you do a really nice dinner the night before the flagship event. And I've had the privilege of being there for the past few years. And you sit there and there's tables and tables of families of like minds. You know, this child might have had a bone cancer. This one might have had a solid. This might have had a blood cancer. But everybody in that room kind of speaks the same language nonverbally. And we know we've been through it together. Some whose children aren't there anymore. Some, you know, hopefully there are survivors. But it's so nice for these families to have a safe place where they can hang out, and it's not in the hospital setting, because normally we families see each other in the hospital setting, and that's a very tense place. You give them that setting where there's a bounce house and basketballs flying across your plate of pasta. It's a high impact dinner, but you give them a space, and I think that's really important that they have that place where they can commiserate.
I agree. I mean, the idea to create a safe space for community is something that I think holds a lot of value. So I very much appreciate, well, Joe, I mean, I just appreciate whatever you do. You're living this day to day and you bring such a spirit of generosity and joy to this conversation in so many ways, hope. And that always makes me feel good. I always feel good after a conversation with you. I've never, even if it's, you know, talking about anything else, we've always had been able to have a good conversation. That really, really is important to me. So appreciate you taking the time. And we will, you know, September 18th, this year is our main event. So, you know, we really are only inviting you because you're so good at cleanup on that. You know, and so that's really, so if you could be there again, help us out with cleanup. That's.
You know, and I appreciate one thing I'd like to end on, and I think you and I are probably in the same boat on this. You know, you stand up there on stage, and you and Tanner are the voices of this, and people will see me and think I'm the face of the Be Positive Foundation. Your Brave the Shave success is based on the hundreds of people, kids and community members. And Be Positive Foundation is not me. It's all these kids, college kids and everything. You know, me, you, Tanner, you know, and a few others. You know, we might organize things, but we're nothing without these teams of kind, compassionate people. And that's why I think it's just important to recognize that everyone can play a role. And some people don't want to be on stage. Some people want to be the one setting up the food table. That's great. And everybody has a part.
Well, and half the times, I'm not even sure that I organize things. What you said is absolutely true. I mean, it is other people who are putting in so much energy and time. And even the main event, sometimes it almost feels like it just kind of happens organically. You know, it just kind of grows because there's so many people who are going to throw in and make it happen. So,
and isn't it a great feeling? You know, in the gym at the Y, it's just such a positive, no pun intended.
It is.
You know, it's the energy is there.
The energy is there. Those people are showing up to support these kids, to support these families, and you can feel it. It is true. You can feel it. And it's a good feeling. So, well, Joe, thank you again for being part of Brave Stories. Thank you for everything you do. We will hopefully see you soon.
I look forward to seeing you in September.
Thank you for listening. More importantly, thank you for being a part of the conversation surrounding our kids and their families. We hope you've been inspired to be a part of our community through your financial and emotional support. Please visit bravetheshave.net or our Facebook page to learn more about our kids and their incredible journeys, and donate. Since 2006, the people of Brave the Shave have been working to support children with cancer and children's cancer research. We hope someday to be done with our work, but for now, please go to bravetheshave.net and be brave this week. Thank you.